A man who was there shoulder by shoulder, side by side with Alan Stajic yesterday was our very own Phil Moss, who happens to be in charge of the Coaching Association for the World of Football, and he joins us on the Big Sports Breakfast as always. G'day, Mossy.
Good morning, guys. Good to see you.
Interesting times, mate. Interesting times. Okay, so if we get beyond what, you know, he's presented himself, we think, sincerely, genuinely, clearly an enormous amount of pressure. The response from the FFA, what was your first take on it? That our thought was, well, what are those things that you mentioned?
Yeah.
You made mention of that, well, he made a number of misleading comments. Which ones?
They never pinpointed any of them.
No, that's right. I think, really, the first step that needs to happen here is Alan needs to be called behind closed doors by FFA, not publicly, behind closed doors, and given a list of reasons why he's not taking the Matildas to the World Cup. And he hasn't had that. And as he said in his comments there, the hardest thing to take is the innuendo and character assassination
yes.
he's put up with publicly because of the lack of clarity.
Yep.
And if anyone loses their job, the first question you ask is why.
Yep.
And then you want some definitive answers around the why. Because that's fair and reasonable. He hasn't got that, and I think it's public knowledge. Well, it is public knowledge, and he reaffirmed it yesterday that he was terminated without cause. That's a tough pill to swallow when you've had results and you've had performance on the pitch. And 2018 wasn't the greatest year for the Matildas in results wise, but certainly he took them from 12th to 4th. Dropped to 6th, going into a World Cup as contenders. So it's not, you wouldn't assume it was anything to do with results.
Well, that's fine. I mean, if it was results, you come out and say, you know what?
That's right.
It's results.
Yeah.
If it was something else, you say, well, it was this. This
yeah.
was the reason. But he says he was given no reason for his sacking. He's also stated yesterday there was no smoking gun here. So there's no big drama behind the scenes. And that was also stated by a FFA board member that there was no smoking gun. So this thing still remains that we talk about ad nauseum. It's a simple thing. Why?
Yeah, that's right. And that's what we're all searching for.
And because he can't move on anywhere until he gets those whys, and a future employer can go, well, oh yeah, that's the reason why we're fine with that. We still want you to be involved.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest ambiguity around it, the grey area, and the biggest problem I think everyone is grappling with is they can't make a decision of whether this is right or wrong. At the moment, it's a wrong decision because mm-hmm. no one's got the reason why. And the Matildas, in a lot of ways, they are the Bambi of Australian sport. Well, definitely Australian women's sport. In a lot of ways, they're probably the most successful brand in Australian sport from a team's point of view over the last couple of years. So as a coaches association, it's our duty to seek some clarity, and we're like a dog with a bone with this one. We're not going to give it away until we've got some clarity for Alan moving forward, so he can put some closure to it, his family can put some closure to it, the players can move on, and the fans can all move on towards what is going to be a wonderful World Cup.
David Gallop made a recommendation to the board, which they endorsed. Who made the recommendation to David Gallop?
Don't know.
I don't know.
And Jimmy, to be honest, it's not from a coaches association point of view. That's not our business, really. How they work is not our business. It's how we work that matters. But as I said,
understand the decision, you have to what's Emma Highwood's involvement in this? She's the head of women's football. What's Luke Casserly's involvement in this? He's the head of high performance.
Head of national teams, I think.
What's Heather Reid's involvement in this? She's the deputy chair of the board. Why is Joseph Carozzi coming out on social media and making comment, which I would have thought would have been best kept in-house?
Mm. They're all very valid questions, but they're questions for someone from... Well, they're questions for the CEO of FFA.
What do you think... What impact is this having on football in this country? What impact is it having on the FFA? Especially, we're now only 3 months down the road where we had a brand-new board elected on the basis of transparency.
That's a key point right there. You took the words out of my mouth. That was one of their big ticket items. We mentioned it yesterday in the presser, and there is no argument. There's a lack of transparency going on here. And as I've said many times, if it is such highly confidential information that the FFA has got, it can't be kept confidential from the man himself. It's not fair. It's not fair on him.
Again, the Football Federation of Australia, they stressed again in this press release, we have been 100% focused on the immediate and long-term well-being of our team and staff. Our decision to act was driven out of care and concern for our players and people. It was and remains our sole motivation, and suggestions to the contrary are incorrect. So they are saying here that they're worried for their players under the guidance of Alan Stajic. Yet, publicly at least, most of the players have come out in support of Alan Stajic. So someone's lying somewhere.
That's right. And again,
and they're quoting that, you know, with this Alan had admitted that it was dysfunctional and always going to be this way, this sort of team environment. Geez, you could say that about the big sports breakfast team, couldn't you?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what I mean, but that's just the way things
work. Especially when Nick's producing. Well,
let me put this to you.
And you're right. You're right.
Like, you know, and that could be a passing comment. Oh, yeah, we're a bit dysfunctional, but, you know, that's the way we rock.
Yeah.
TK, a toxic culture, a dysfunctional culture, call it what you will.
Yeah.
If it's that bad, you generally see it out on the pitch. Generally see it shine through on game day.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that with the Matildas. They were going into a World Cup as contenders.
Have you spoken to Alan about... So he's made that acknowledgement in front of an FFA lawyer and David Gallop. According to the FFA.
Allegedly.
According to the FFA.
Well, they're quoting
so
that.
What is the dysfunction?
Again, I don't know. Because...
Does Alan know? Like, when Alan acknowledged, he said... Yeah, there's dysfunction there. And this is what we're presuming has been said because there's three witnesses to it, Alan, the lawyer, and David Gallop. So we've got to assume that it's the case. So he's come out. What is it? What's he referring to? Have you asked him that?
To be honest, no. I haven't asked him specifically about the dysfunctional culture or the toxic culture because within that, there has to be... that's too generalised. There has to be.
That's
specific,
what I mean. You've got to ask him. Well, what do you mean, mate? Like, does she hate her? And
there's a reason.
Look, not all. You've been part of professional teams, Jimmy. Not everyone in the team loves each other. Not everyone
Absolutely.
In the team. But they turn up, and if the chemistry's there on the pitch, and they're getting results and performance, and building towards a major tournament, all things going well, then isn't that what it's about? I mean, okay. You'd love the perfect culture all the time, but.
Tell you what, you need to be patient waiting for that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
never happens.
Exactly.
How's your house? Household? My household's pretty dysfunctional.
Yeah.
How's yours?
Yeah, dysfunctional.
You know, you sort of get by somehow.
Exactly.
There's no sort of perfect
setup. We've got blended bliss. We've got six kids between us.
It's a Brady Bunch.
As we say, there's two types of cultures. There's a winning culture and a losing culture.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
But there wasn't. I mean, they'd gone from fourth to sixth and they had had the mixed year, but... It wasn't a losing culture.
No. I'm so not saying it was.
That's what I'm saying. That's where dysfunction rears its ugly head. Mm. So that's what do you anticipate? Like, what more do you want? What does Alan want now from the FFA? That phone call and say, mate, this is why. What you said the list of reasons. What if there's no list?
Well, then that needs to, you've that got needs a strong to case. Come out. Look, here's the thing. FFA have got every right to make the decision they
Absolutely.
Made. There was a 9-month termination clause in Alan's contract. Everyone
right.
knows that.
Yep.
So they've got every right to make the decision that Alan is not the right choice for the Matildas. But when you've got a high-profile team like the Matildas and you make a high-profile decision like they've made, everyone deserves and wants clarity around it. And it's a national team. It's not a club team. So it's funded to some degree by taxpayer money.
Yeah. China and England came knocking 14 months ago. Do you think anyone will come knocking?
Look, I really hope so because he's got... And look, don't get me wrong. In the behind closed doors, in the cool of the evening, I'm sure Alan is reflecting, as I did when I lost my job. I'm sure he's reflecting on things that he thinks he could have done a little bit better. But at the end of the day, what he's done with the Matildas and what he's done for women's sport in Australia over many years, he's been involved for 20 years as a coach. The guy can coach. Mm. He knows what he's doing. Mm. There might have been some mistakes along the way. We don't know, but certainly I'd like to see him back in it. But again, until we know what the reasons are, we can't say whether it was a right or wrong decision.
Well, of course, there's going to be mistakes along the way. We've got some big games coming up in the Champions League this time tomorrow. By the way, we've got live soccer currently 0-0. Wolverhampton at home. They're having a good year, aren't they? Wolverhampton up
they
against
are.
Newcastle, who are having a stinker. But yep. Man U tomorrow against Paris Saint-Germain, tap.com.au, 225. 225, Man U up against PSG, $3.
Yeah, Cavani and Neymar both out for PSG. Cavani's been pulled out the last couple of days with a hip injury. Neymar's got that broken metatarsal.
Mm.
God, we love that word, don't we? Metatarsal, broken foot.
He's killing Mbappe. Is he going to pull
so
out?
So Mbappe comes in. He's the only recognised striker in their front line. The two that miss out have scored 41 goals between them this season.
Yeah.
Mbappe scored 22 goals. So half what they've scored combined. So it's not a bad guy to come in and lead the line, but this is Manchester United unbeaten in 11 games in all competitions. Jimmy, the last 11 games, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doing an unbelievable job. And guess the linchpin. Guess who it is? You just have to make him smile and he'll come
Pogba.
Good. Paul Pogba. Just make him smile. Yeah. Make him happy. He just won a World Cup. He's flying high.
No dysfunction now at Man United. I know that. I'll tell you what. Jesus, tip tight for Liverpool.
Did we get a tip?
I'm going to tip Manchester United at home.
225.
It hurts me to do that with Jimmy sitting next to me, but I am.
225, their favourites. What about Ajax against Real Madrid? 360, the outsiders, Ajax at home.
That's not an easy one to tip.
No.
Not an easy one to tip.
The draw is $4.
Yeah, go the draw again, like you suggested with Chelsea and Man City.
I'm not going to sit on the fence. Real Madrid.
Chelsea, Man City, draw. How'd that end up?
Real Madrid.
I didn't hear you tipping 6-0 either, by the way.
Liverpool, $2 up against Bayern Munich, $3.40.
No-brainer. Liverpool at home.
Jesus, getting tight in that championship.
Actually, it's Liverpool.
Liverpool at home.
Yeah. Liverpool.
So, okay, you're tipping Liverpool at home.
Yeah. Spurs, I think Spurs will get over Dortmund at home as well.
And then
Spurs at home, they are.
Yeah.
Yep. So you like Spurs at $2.30, and the other big one, Manchester City, high flying on top of Liverpool, on top of the EPL table. They're away from home, but they're short price favourites, $1.30 at tap.com.au up against Schalke.
They win that one.
They win that one?
Yes. All right. Man City away.
Game in hand, of course, Liverpool.
You're back to your normal job today?
Yes, I am.
No flash burn for you?
No, I'm back at NAB today. But
speaking of dysfunctional...
I would like to say that yesterday, all other things aside, under extremely difficult circumstances, I thought Alan Stajic handled himself extremely well.
Very tough day. We've chatted about this throughout the program. He did a good job. It was very emotional for him. It was gut-wrenching for him. His statement was good, and it was good that he answered the questions from the press as honestly as he possibly could, we imagine, and he thought he did a good job and represented himself extremely well. Yeah. Good on you, Mossy.
Thanks, guys. And just quickly before I go, on a day that was mixed for football, very, very proud of an ex-teammate of mine, Craig Foster.
Yes.
For the job he's done with Al Arabi to get him home. That is massive. And really, you've seen the sporting world come together as one to fight for what's right.
And beyond, yeah. Mm.
Absolutely. Yeah. He lands what time? There'll be
this morning sometime.
There'll be a big media scrum there at the airport. Haven't called
it yet. The overnighter from Bangkok to Sydney. We've been
I think he's over Aussie soil. I think we've established that.
Yeah, Jacqueline was
somewhere.
Thanks, Mossy.
Good on you guys. Have a good day.
Go Man U.